afternoon, Northern Colorado. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy, and we're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Oh, man, it's going to be a fun Thursday. It's going to be a great Thursday. We got Kelly Lyle from the Colorado one will join us. CSU latest on the basketball front. Chris Dempsey will join us, talk about, well, the Denver Nuggets finally get win number 13. And, I mean, it was, this thing was over early. 133-95. All in four periods. No, there was no overtime there. It was incredible. It was good to see. Now, it's against Cleveland, but I don't care. If you beat a team by, like, 40 points or 30 or whatever, I mean, you're doing something right. So, I think, I do think that this was one of those games where everybody was having fun. You got to see a lot of the youngsters in. Zeke Nagy, the Nuggets' first-round pick. RJ Hampton, the Nuggets' second-round pick. I think getting those guys some more playing time, I don't know how crucial they're going to be at the end of the day, but it was fun to see both of them rocking and rolling. Zeke Nagy played 19 minutes. He was 5-for-7, 4-for-6 from the three-point line. His plus-minus was plus 10. He had 14 points. And then you have RJ Hampton, who had 9 points. I mean, oh, and by the way, Zeke got a technical. He goes up for a dunk, and he just taps his head like this and goes, "Watch your head," to the defender. They teed him up. Like, what is that? And then I'm hearing people like, "Oh, act like you've been there before." He hasn't. Like, he's never been in that situation. So, yeah, and I'm sorry. RJ Hampton was round one. He was picked 24. Milwaukee drafted him, though, and then that was a trade there. But it was pick number 24. So, okay, forgive me for that one. But RJ Hampton is going to be a lot of fun to watch. I'm pumped to see what he can do. The other guy is Zeke Nagy. That's kind of what this was about last night, because the Rooks got a lot of time, got a lot of playing time. Now, Paul Millsap had a good game. Will Barton was fine. Michael Porter Jr. back with 19 points. Good for him to get that. 6-for-10, 4-for-7. Nikola Jokic, 12 points. 12 assists, 6 boards. Now, again, this is a lot like what you saw last year. You'd see points like game totals like this, but it doesn't matter because he's not even playing most of the second half, and you're fine with 12 points. His plus-minus, Colfax, was plus 32. He makes everybody on the floor better, and he got a little rest, too. Still played 30 minutes, though. Jamal Murray had 8. Something's going wrong there, folks. Something's up, and I don't know what it is. I did hear on the broadcast last night, you know, that Murray's not, you know, none of his family are around him and stuff like that. And I know a lot of players still have their support group around them, and that's important. And I certainly believe that. I'm at this point where I feel bad because he's had physical injuries. Now you wonder mentally if it's just getting him down. I mean, he was 3-for-6 last night. He did not shoot a three-pointer. He played 25 minutes. And again, they didn't need, there's no complaining about his performance last night because everything went perfectly. They were up 34-17 at the end of one. And, you know, Cleveland tried to make it interesting in the second, but Denver bust out of the gates in the third, which was good to see. They outscored Cleveland 36-23. So I was glad to see that. You saw a lot like players on the sidelines having fun. Like when both Zeke Nagy got his dunk and RJ Hampton got his dunk, you looked over at the bench and they were acting like they just won a championship, which is good. I like that because you're pumped. You go from this terrible night the night before against Milwaukee, but Milwaukee's a good team. And I know I was worked up, and I still am. But you're starting to wonder, do these guys like each other right now? Is Porter in the doghouse? You know, what's going to be, who's going to help this team? And I still feel strongly about it. Cleveland's not a good team. And any team in the NBA can win games like this. You can outscore teams by 40 points. It happens. Some nights just everything clicks. You make most of your shots. You know, field goal percentage, their 3-point percentage was 44%. Field goal percentage was 60%. I mean, there's just some times when everything goes right. And then for Cleveland, they shot 37% and 21% from the three-point line. Again, Denver shot 44% from the three-point line. Nagy went 4-for-6. Morris was 2-for-5. Porter 4-for-7. Barton 2-for-3. Millsap 2-for-3. I mean, those are good numbers. Those are great numbers. You're going to win a lot of games if you play like that. And defensively, they brought it. You know, they held Cleveland to 95. So by whole minute, we got that up for you. You can check it out at the website, thewholeshow.com. Or you can see it on social media. If you follow us on Facebook, if you follow us on Twitter, we've got you covered there. But I'm talking about it. And I know it sounds extreme. I said, hey, and Colfax titled it. It's perfect. If the Nuggets aren't careful, they're going to get themselves in a position similar to the Rockies. Are they going to handle it like the Rockies? No, the Nuggets ownership and management has been much better. But the point of that was disgruntled superstar. Nolan Arenado was disgruntled because they weren't building around him. And it was obvious. Now, with the Nuggets, it's way too premature to say that. But all I'm saying is there are some warning signs. They're warning signs. That doesn't mean it's going to happen. It's just this is something we need to be mindful of. Tim Connelly, Calvin Booth need to be mindful of this. If Jamal Murray, like when do you get to the point when you say, when you stop saying, well, mentally he's not getting in and physically, you know, he's hurt. When do you get to the point and say, okay, he's not an elite player anymore. Or he maybe never was. When do you stop making excuses? When do you say it about Von Miller, right? When do you say, oh, Von, you know, he was so great, Super Bowl 50, but he's been going down every single year. When do you finally say, he's not an NFL caliber guy anymore? And he is, but when do you say that? When do you say Jamal might not be there? And again, I'm not saying he's not. I just, at some point, you're going to be having those conversations. Last night was big. Last night was important. And I was happy to see it. But, you know, that was one game. Now you have the Thunder. And, you know, I'm looking forward to that game to see how that one works out. But then you have my game of the week going up against the Los Angeles Lakers on Sunday. And that's what... I mean, it's going to be another big test. Break a three-game losing streak. That was important. My concerns are still there. I love local media. It's ridiculous sometimes. Where are the haters now? You beat Cleveland. Like, if you would have lost that game, we would have been pressing the panic button this morning or this afternoon. But I'm taking it for what it is. You can only beat the team in front of you, and Denver desperately needed a win, and they win so big that it makes everybody happy on the bench, and it was like a feel-good moment. You know, every team needs a moment where they just are like, all right, you know, let's not be too serious here. Let's not beat each other up. And sometimes that comes in form of a blowout-type game, 133-95. So these kind of games, they show us maybe Zeke Nagy should play more. Maybe RJ Hampton should play more. I had a coach once, Colfax, in basketball. Loved my basketball coach. Coach Stevenson. Great dude. Like a military guy. Scared me to death, but after it's all said and done, I respect the hell out of him. I remember games we'd play. Like, I was a freshman, and our varsity was rocking and rolling. They were smoking a team by like 30. So all the freshmen got to go in, and the younger guys. And we just happened to be on fire, too. So, like, we're knocking down every shot. Crowd's going crazy. And, I mean, everybody on the roster had at least, like, 6-7 points that played. And I remember my coach, it was kind of like a buzzkill. We're in at the game, at postgame, and my coach, he's happy for the win. And then he gets serious and says, hey, you guys, I know you're all going to go home tonight, and mommy and daddy are going to tell you that you should be starting because you had a hell of a game tonight. That is a lesson learned about basketball. Sometimes... everything, literally everything on your roster clicks. And that was the case for us. So we were brought down to earth real fast after that. Man, I scored 10. I've never even scored in a varsity game. I scored 10 points. I'm feeling good. Nope, mommy and daddy's going to tell you that. You're not good enough to be a starter. You're not good enough to be on varsity. Got to keep working. And of course, like the next game, none of us, you know, if we were subbed in, none of us could hit a broadside of a barn. So coach was right. So that's what you want to be careful with. Yes, Zeke Nagy, I'd like to see some more minutes. I'd like to see some more minutes from RJ Hampton. He's been getting more minutes. But you got to be careful here because I'm looking at all my Nuggets groups and all my social media groups, and they're all asking the same things. Why is Nagy not getting more minutes? Again, you're feeling it, and you're going up against a Cleveland team that they're reeling after the third, man. They're just licking their wounds. They want to get home. They want to be done. They want to get back to, well, not many people want to get back to Cleveland, but in this case, they wanted to get back to Cleveland. So, yeah, I mean, it's cool to see these guys play. It's cool to see them get minutes, and I'm happy because I do think Zeke Nagy is going to be a big-time player. I think Hampton's going to be a big-time player. So we got to be careful. We just got to temper our expectations a little bit. You got to go do it again. You got to go take care of OKC, and you're going to see Joker get more minutes, or you're going to see Murray get more minutes, and you're going to see where he is mentally because I'm starting to worry. Like, the inconsistencies are no longer, oh, well, that's Murray. We'll see. Can he get back? I don't even know, Colfax. Can we even say inconsistencies anymore? Because he's not having monster games anymore. You know, he'll have a couple of games, and then you'll go, oh, nice game by Murray. And then you go five games of just like this, 8 points, four assists, four boards, whatever. Again, it was a big win for the Nuggets, but it was like an absolute must. The fact that you blew him out makes me feel a lot better than, you know, if you would have went wire to wire. And if you lose this game, and we're pressing the panic button, man, we're flipping out. All right, Colfax, let's get to the big story of the day. Big story of the day presented by FMS Bank, Banking Made Simple. And the NBA is shot back now against, we talked about Mark Cuban yesterday and pulling the national anthem, and he did, this has been going on all season, but the NBA basically said, no, every team is going to play the national anthem. Listen, it's probably a good move because you've already got your built-in audience. I think it's fair to say there was some audience that went away from the NBA. That maybe said, all right, I'm still a fan, but I'm not going to watch as much. It's kind of bothering me, this whole national anthem thing. And I get it. I understand it. Does Mark Cuban understand it? The NBA had put out a statement yesterday reiterating its longstanding policy that all teams will play the national anthem. Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban said during an appearance on ESPN's The Jump that his organization has no problem playing the anthem at all, and that the decision to not do so to this point in the season was the product of ongoing conversations with members of the community who felt the tradition did not fully represent them. I don't know what that means, though. I mean, are we no longer all Americans, or are we different Americans? Is that what it is? Because I don't understand it. Cuban on Tuesday had told ESPN that he had made the decision to stop playing the national anthem before home games after consulting with NBA Commissioner Adam Silver. The Mavericks did not announce the change in policy, but the national anthem had not been played before any of their games. Here's what Cuban said at the end of it. We're always talking to our community. That's something Mavericks CEO Cynthia Marshall stands for and is very insistent upon and has become a core part of who we are at the Dallas Cowboys, Cuban told ESPN's Rachel Nichols on Wednesday. In listening to the community, there were quite a few people who voiced their concerns, really their fears, that the national anthem did not fully represent them, that their voices were not being heard. So, like, what does that mean? Like, your voices aren't being heard. Are you not singing loud enough? No, like, this has always been my issue with the national anthem. You guys can praise Colin Kaepernick all you want, but what got people's attention? That real, like, well, you're hearing hope and change. You're hearing all that stuff, change, real change, real change. I'm not promoting or condoning, whatever. Black Lives Matter, that movement, that's what got people talking. Negative, positive, whatever. Riots, quiet protests, whatever. It wasn't the kneeling. It wasn't. So we're like trying to make Colin Kaepernick a hero. It wasn't the kneeling. That, all that did, we just debated about the national anthem and who was kneeling and who wasn't. Because the people that were against your argument were already against your argument, and now are going to be even more against your argument because you're kneeling. The people that were for your argument are going to be even more for your argument because you're kneeling. So it wasn't doing anything. So I don't understand what the voices are not being heard. You know, at the end of the day, it's the national anthem. I mean, we can... I've talked about this on the show, Colfax. There's racism. There's racism in this country. There's racism in this world. There's hate in this country. There's hate in this world. And I always thought the slogan of end racism, it baffles me. Because I'm like, why stop there then, gang? Why stop there? End hate. End murder. End child abduction. End sex trafficking. End it all. Why not? But no, we're ending racism. We're ending a thought. Racism is a thought. That's a thought. You think racist. Your thinking is racist. That's a thought. How in the wild world of sports are you going to end a thought? It's a lot easier to end crime. Honestly, it's easier to end crime than to end racism. Because you can arrest people for crime. You can't arrest someone for a thought. In fact, you may not even know that they're racist. Now, again, trust me, if I could wave a magic wand and every person I come across that says something racist, I wish I could go, boop, you're a good guy now. Stop saying that kind of stuff. I wish I could, but you can't. Same as everyone's being told we got to sit and understand each other. You can't just wish it away. You can't protest. You can protest rules and regulations and all that stuff. And I get that. I do. But as far as saying our voices aren't heard, what are you talking about? Joe Biden is the president. I mean, have you even heard a word from the former president, Donald Trump? What do you mean your voices aren't heard? So there's a lot of voices that aren't heard anymore. And I'm like, this is the national anthem. So is your voices aren't heard because they're playing the national anthem? You're not supposed to talk during that thing. Like I said yesterday, I kind of related it back to the Orioles old owner back in the 30s. He looked around and saw people talking and laughing during the national anthem. He's like, they're not respecting it, so we might as well not play it. And I more or less was like, dude, honestly, we're already divided. It doesn't seem like it's bringing everybody together like it did in 1918 when the Boston Red Sox played the Chicago Cubs. And in the seventh inning stretch, the Navy sang and the crowd sang along with them. And players started to salute and put their hands over their heart. It was a magical moment. It doesn't seem to be that thing anymore. And now it's just causing more issues. People can't even go to a game anymore without getting into a fight about the national anthem. So, not saying ever, ever, ever get rid of your song. But if it's to the point where it's just causing nonstop discussions about, and like I said, it's a South Park episode. We're taking bets over who's going to kneel. How many players for the Nuggets will kneel tonight? Three? What's the over-under? I mean, that was the South Park episode, right? And then everybody stayed for the national anthem to see which girl would kneel. It was like a junior high volleyball game. Then as soon as the game was over, everybody left. Or no, as soon as the national anthem was over, everybody left. They didn't stay for the game. It's interesting. Cuban smart, no such thing as bad press. Hey, it's taking the attention away from your crappy team right now. Because Dallas's expectations and Luka Doncic's expectations were to be MVP and to be a top playoff team this year. And they are not that. I still stand by it, though. If Nikola Jokic plays for Dallas today, they're a championship team. Joker and Luka, Kristaps, I'm down. 24 minutes after the hour, we want to thank our friends over at SCL Mortgage. Check out their website at myspecialmortgage.com, myspecialmortgage.com. SCL is family and veteran owned. And you've heard about interest rates. They're at all-time lows, so now's the time to get rid of any consumer debt that you have. Car loans, credit cards, student loans. That interest is not tax-deductible, and your house payment is. SCL has been serving Colorado for 20 years with an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Check them out, 970-444-1222, or go to their website, myspecialmortgage.com. We still have Kelly Lyle coming up on the show. I'm getting people at me on Twitter for my tweet yesterday talking about, well, you know, Deshaun Watson comes here, and it's loaded. Deshaun Watson arrives in Denver, and it's, oh, look at all the wide receivers. What have they done? Houston's Will Fuller is better than any wide receiver the Broncos have right now. Fight me on that. Debate me on that. Go to the text line, 970-478-1301. We'll be right back.
We have the games. Go to 1310kfk.com to see our preps, college, and pro game schedules on Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
After the hour, we're gonna be here for just a bit, and then we're gonna break and talk to Kelly Lyle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and all things Colorado State. Our power to play sports poll question of the day. It's Ed McCaffrey related. We had the Zoom conference last week, and you heard him on Inside the Bears Den here on KFKA on Tuesday night. And I wanted to ask the question again because we still haven't seen Coach McCaffrey coach his first football game. So the power to play sports poll question. Do you think Coach Ed McCaffrey will bring success to the UNC Bears, to UNC Bears football? There's two options. No, purely a marketing gimmick, or simply yes. 61% of the hooligans say no, this is purely a marketing gimmick. 38% optimistic. I've had some comments already saying yes, we're there for whatever Ed McCaffrey needs. He's going to bring it here. I got to tell you, on the erring on the side of caution, I'm very skeptical still. Now, the Dylan McCaffrey move is big. It is big. But I still just think, okay, I'm in the press conference, and it's cool. And most of the questions are about Dylan McCaffrey because it's a lot of Denver media, and you know, I doubt they could name any other player on this roster for UNC. So, and that's fine. This is the big news. You're not complaining. You're happy to get the news. But there's three other quarterbacks on the roster. And what would you two, like, what's the political correct thing to say when a new quarterback comes to town who hasn't earned it yet, right? But you have other quarterbacks on the roster. You know, you have Bubby Brister's kid. Remember that was kind of a big story. We were like, oh, wow. McCaffrey's like reaching into, all of his Broncos connections. You know, he's got some former Broncos on the coaching staff, like Jimmy Spencer. He's pulling into some of his old offensive court. He's got his old offensive coordinator as his offensive coordinator. And, yeah, I mean, you're bringing in all these old guys. So we were talking about, well, you're bringing in Bubby Brister's son, who had, you know, he was fun to watch when he played for the Broncos. He wasn't a consistent starter, but he was there when we needed him during the Elway days. So there's Andrew Brister, there's Alec Lewis, and there's Connor Martin still. Connor Martin feels like he's been with this team a while. And Zach Rush. So, you know, what as a coach, what are the things you should be saying? Like, I was kind of a little taken back, like, yeah, Dylan's going to come here and he's going to compete for the job. Like, shouldn't that have been said? Because if I'm a quarterback that thinks at this stage that I'm the starter and then suddenly that happens and there's not even like a whiff of... And so, anyway, the point of that, Colfax, is I look at what head coaches are supposed to do and supposed to say, and I'm still kind of like, huh. And, you know, I've talked to officials around the state. I have yet to have Coach Ed McCaffrey on this program. And I'm trying not to, like, you know, we've had him on the station before, but I've talked to Steve Adazio. I've talked to Carl Durrell. I've talked to... Tad Boyle. I've talked to Steve Smiley. I've talked to Nico Medved. I've talked to Jeff Linder. I could probably get Craig Bohl on from Wyoming. I could get any coach in the state on this program. We're the voice of the Bears. So when I look at some of the things, I'm saying, is he doing all the things that a head coach is asked to do? And even bringing in a quarterback, even doing media interviews, doing those kind of things. Now, I tweeted something in jest on my Twitter account, Colfax. And I said, hey, the McCaffreys run Greeley now because you got Ed, you got Max, you got Dylan. And I had some respectable business owners, and I'm talking respectable business owners in Greeley, Colorado, commented fairly negatively about that, right? Said, hey, what are you talking about? They don't do anything until I see receipts. What does that mean to you? That
maybe they did some winning out there?
Or they're not buying into the community.
Oh,
yeah.
That too.
Yeah, so that's kind of what... And again, we're in COVID time. So it's like it's hard to say that, you know, brand new coach since March is going to be all over the place because of COVID. But I've been around the community and people are like, all right, where is he? Is he doing those right things? No, so I guess I hesitate. He was a great receiver, great Broncos receiver. He won a championship with Valor Christian High School. He coached 2 years. But I mean, again, Valor Christian, that's what they do. They win championships with or without Ed. So he coached there 2 years and then he came directly to UNC. So I'm already like skeptical about that. And then I'm skeptical about other things. Like, where is he? Is he jumping on with local media? Is he doing the things he needs to be doing out in the community? I mean, I have been on five Zoom calls for the Round Ball Club, which is UNC men's basketball donors and fans and all that. I've hosted five of those with Coach Smiley. They're brilliant. They connect. They talk about the team. Every last player, every incoming player. I mean, Steve Smiley could teach how to coach at this level and what to do. So that's what I want to see. And yes, Dylan's going to beat out all these guys. Sure, he's going to be good. But is McCaffrey, is he going to have what it takes to be a head coach, X's and O's wise? And honestly, can you do the extra stuff? Because you got to do both to be successful here. And we saw Ernest Collins Jr. and he was pretty good in the community. I had him on the show all the time. I saw him out in the community a lot, but he just couldn't get it right, X's and O's. So you got two things you have to accomplish here. And yeah, if you come here and you win, then you probably don't have to do as much as the other things. 36 minutes after the hour, those are my reservations. We'll talk about it a little bit later on in the show. We're going to talk Colorado State coming up next with Kelly Lyle. But first, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We are live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. And, of course, on Thursdays, right around this time, we catch up with Kelly Lyle of the Fort Collins, Colorado. And he joins us on our First Advantage hotline. Kelly, we talked a lot about it yesterday with the postponement, the cancellation. What exactly are we calling this with CSU New Mexico? Are we going to replay? Are we going to try to reschedule those games?
Well, I think the Mountain West Conference will probably try to reschedule those games. But, you know, we're starting to get down toward the end of the season, and there's only so many opportunities left to reschedule games before that conference tournament kicks in. So it'll be interesting to see. There's certainly a window there for makeups, but New Mexico's a team that's lost some other games, too. So where their makeups all end up getting scheduled, I don't know. The conference technically said their games against San Diego State were canceled. There's still some question as to whether those will be considered forfeits, like Utah State's game. It didn't play against Colorado State because it wasn't specifically a COVID issue. It was a overall roster issue and other things apparently that led to it. So I don't know where it's all going to shake out. Again, I think we talked early in the year that probably not this full schedule probably would not get played, and it was going to make it a little bit dicey and complicated to figure out how teams get seeded for the conference tournament, if indeed that still happens, and what that means for NCAA tournament hopes. And Colorado State, probably from a net rankings, those games playing them would have hurt their ranking. At the same time, from just an on paper, it probably would have helped because they most likely would have won him, and two more wins would look good on Colorado State's postseason resume. So, hard to say.
Yeah, Kelly, that's what I was going to ask you next. We all assumed, I mean, again, it's tough to do that when you're playing back-to-back. We kind of know that's more difficult, but we all assumed CSU was going to win both of those games and their wins. But ultimately, yeah, how much does that hurt them? And, you know, second question for you, Kelly, on that note is what does a basketball game schedule look like this week? Are the Rams getting any closer? So first question there, how badly do you think that will hurt them overall not having these two games, which we believe would have been two wins?
You know, I think it'll actually in some ways help them because I think the net rankings are going to be relied on even more this year. Certainly conference standings will be looked at, but conference standings, this isn't going to change where Colorado State is in the standings. The two wins wouldn't have necessarily raised them any from where they already are. So I think that ultimately it may end up helping them. I don't know where Colorado State stands right now. I know Kevin Lytle has been talking to Nico Medved some about scheduling another game in this gap because between these two games and next week's game against Northern Colorado that got rescheduled when CSU had COVID issues back in December and now UNC's got COVID issues, so they canceled it. They have a pretty long gap there that they're trying to fill before playing their final two series of the season. It'll be interesting to see. I loved Kevin's suggestion that they try to find a way to play BYU because BYU had some games canceled. That would be a great, great regional matchup right now between two pretty hot teams that are both vying for NCAA bids and vying for at-large bids because BYU is probably not getting past Gonzaga to win that conference tournament in the West Coast Conference.
Yeah, no, that would be huge. I mean, it'd be good for both programs, I would imagine. But that's a tough one because we were so getting close. We were excited to see the Rams. They were tests, though. Even against New Mexico, we thought, all right, you can't overlook. You got to finish this season strong. But unfortunately, Kelly, the Mountain West is kind of they're all hitting it. I thought the Utah State Wyoming series was going to be huge, which it would have been, but they postponed that as well. So this Mountain West is certainly heating up. It's a lot of entertainment for us, but we're not able to, I guess, get all the puzzle pieces just yet as we go. We're going to have to wait a little longer, even perhaps past the last scheduled regular season game.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, I saw a thing the other day. There's apparently 49 NCAA Division I basketball teams currently not playing right now because of COVID issues within their programs. So this is not just unique to the Mountain West. This is going on around the country. I get emails all the time where I'm seeing postponements, games canceled, postponements in the Pac-12, the Big 12, the big, every conference, the ACC, everybody's having some of these issues. And it makes it a lot dicier. It makes the postseason a lot more interesting because no conference is playing anywhere close to a balanced schedule because of these types of issues. And we'll just see. I think that, if Colorado State had its druthers, I'm sure they'd like to go ahead and play those games. I'm sure they would have liked to have played them as scheduled. New Mexico was here. They were on the court. They had already done their early warm-ups before this one was called off. And apparently, CSU and both schools in consultation with the Larimer County Health Department decided it was too risky because of a New Mexico assistant coach who had found out Monday night that somebody he had been identified as a close contact of had indeed tested positive. And apparently the assistant coach was showing at least some symptoms of maybe having COVID as well. So, I was just reading, they bust back to Albuquerque because they wouldn't get on an airplane in that situation. That way the team could stay quarantined, but they all underwent further testing and nobody tested positive. So I guess, we'll see. I don't know if, maybe they would have been better off to play the game. Maybe not. I don't know. But certainly there's a lot of people that have a lot of tough decisions to make when you're confronted with that. My initial reaction was that's insane. But the reality is the county health department knows and these people know way more about the transmission of COVID than I do or than you do or anything. And we need to trust their decision making. And they decided it wasn't safe to move forward. So the game was called off.
Yeah, and certainly
games.
yeah, and interesting timing on all of it, too. And I know that was frustrating for fans, but it is what it is in this case. I think we have all braced ourselves for the potential of a game being called off, even as they're in the air at tip-off. I mean, I'm ready for that one next. Kelly, all that aside, do you have an idea? Like, I think we're close to thinking this Rams team has a darn good shot of going dancing here. Still a lot of work to do, but any predictions as to, well, first off, do you think they're going to get in? And if they do, what seed would we be talking about?
I do think that they're going to get in. It's going to be dicey, though. There's no way, as much as, the projections out there showing four Mountain West teams and things like that. I love it. I wish that were true. I just don't believe it because of historically the Mountain West gets undervalued when that committee gets together and meets. And the fact that there aren't as many non-conference games this year to help strengthen their case, I think, hurts even more. So, yes, certainly, again, yet another reason it'd be great for Colorado State or some of these, or Wyoming or some of these schools not playing this week to be able to get out and schedule a marquee opponent and maybe go show them something. But I do think they're going to struggle. And I think that if they do get in, it's going to be somewhere probably, if they don't win the automatic bid by winning the conference tournament, I think they're probably looking at somewhere between a 10 and 12 seed. And if it's a 12, it might be one of those play-in game 12 seeds.
Yeah, well, boy, that would be that'd be interesting for sure, Kelly. I know. Hey, we kind of feel like we just took a stall here, and a lot of Mountain West teams feel like that. Well, as you said, a lot of teams in general feeling like that. So even if we get through the regular season, even if we get perhaps to the, if there is a Mountain West tournament, they could be, we could postpone, we could cancel just like that. So that to me is an interesting challenge. I mean, it's even changed throughout the last couple of months. Now it feels like even right before tip-off, a game can be pulled out from underneath you. And I think that's something where the coaches got to feel like they're looking over their shoulders all the time. Kelly, before we let you go, the Steve Addazio, I want to talk to you quickly about that. The quarterback depth chart. I mean, are we thinking it's going to be Todd Senteo? Is that the quarterback, at least for right now? Is that going to be the guy?
I think so, unless one of these freshmen just truly comes in and wows the staff with what they do. You know, two of them will presumably have spring practice to show what they can do, Luke McAllister and Chance Evans out of New Mexico, Luke McAllister out of Palmer Ridge and Monument. Those guys are here now. They're taking classes at CSU now. They're on campus, presumably, and doing the off-season workouts. That's going to give them a huge leg up, but they are both true freshmen, and pretty tough for a true freshman to win a job over a veteran, and Todd Senteo is a veteran. He may have some issues. He may not have the greatest arm. He may have some, you know, there may be some concerns, but I think they're going to work really hard to try to design an offense that around Todd Senteo's strengths. And he's probably going to be the guy that's going to lead the Rams in that season opener. And then, you know, if he really struggles or the offense really stalls, then maybe you start looking at how do we get some of these other guys developed and up to speed. So we'll just see. It was interesting. He did mention Justice McCoy is no longer a quarterback. He has indeed moved a wide receiver. They like his athleticism. But he also didn't rule out having him play quarterback if need be. He said that gives them some versatility as well, in that they could always go back to him as a quarterback. They could also do some of these things, you know, you look at some of the stuff the Saints do with Taysom Hill and things like that, and have two quarterbacks on the field together at the same time, and maybe set up some trick plays or confuse some defenses that way too. So we'll see, but I think Todd Senteo is going to be the guy, and it's going to be hard for one of these true freshmen to beat him out.
Kelly, a lot to unpack there, my friend. Thanks as always. And yeah, we'll keep an eye out at the Colorado and to see what the Rams do this week and perhaps in the future and what the conference starts to look like. Appreciate you, man.
All right. Take care.
Kelly Lyle of the Fort Collins Coloradoan joins us every Thursday breaking down all things Colorado State. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Before we do that, I'll tell you about our game beer of the week from On the Rocks Liquor. This one's from New Belgium Brewing in Fort Collins. Oak Spire Bourbon Barrel Ale, 9%. ABV. Sounds great for this kind of day, Colfax, doesn't it?
It's perfect.
Snowing outside and it's cold. I'll be thinking about that when I'm running on Saturday with Sweetheart City Racing. I'm pumped to do it, but yeah, do I wish it could be a little bit warmer? Sure, rather than like 7 degrees. But the Oak Spire Bourbon Ale sounds pretty good. That's our game beer of the week. You get that for a discount price this week. Also, they have Molly Brown Spirits from Denver, Bourbon Whiskey, and Rye Whiskey, available only up here at On the Rocks Liquor. Second hour, Colorado, Stanford going at it tonight. Two of the best in the Pac-12 going toe-to-toe. How did it go last time around? We'll talk about that. Also, free agent talks. Linebackers. Yes. Linebackers, and one guy the Broncos should get really aggressive with. We'll talk about it next.
You're listening to The Halls Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break. The Power Trip, Weekdays at 11 on 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Yeah, real quickly here, Colfax. I saw this from the Denver Post this morning. The Pittsburgh Pirates have signed veteran catcher Tony Wolters to a minor league deal that includes an invitation to spring training. The team announced the signing Thursday. Ah, bummer. Another Rocky that I really liked. And I don't know if his skill set was there anymore, but I would have rather him take a shot here in our spring training than with Pittsburgh's, but I digress. Second hour coming up, free agents, linebackers, and why it's still crazy the idea of Deshaun Watson coming to Denver. Second hour coming up next.